Right, here we go. 2 Samuel 7, verse 18. Then King David went in and sat before the Lord and said, "Who am I, O Lord God? And what is my house that you have brought me thus far?" Now, I'm sure somewhere along the line you've asked us that question to God. And if you haven't, you should, because you truly need to know who you are. And I'm going to try and bring to you what God has put on my heart regarding us and His heart. My name is Ivan Furi. For you, if you don't know my name, that's my name and my surname. I was born in 1973. My parents were Elias and Susan Furi. I'm Afrikaans boykie. And I have two older sisters, Sanette and Sarita. And I'm married to Alicia, my beautiful, wonderful, God-fearing wife. And then I'm the father of Anufia Sudi Hope in Jesus, as she always adds. And we currently live in Kalbaskraal. That's where the Lord wants us now. And serving in Malmesbury. And I mostly do woodwork for a living. And that's about as much I want to share right now. But the question is that what defines me? And if I look at what the Bible says about what defines me, then sometimes things are a bit scary. If we go to the third slide there, it says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." That's quite harsh. I mean, that's like, where am I, in this whole thing? If I have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, then obviously I'm not going to see the end of this. I am doomed for hell and eternal damnation. But that is not the full scripture. And that would make JP very happy, because we read things in context. We don't leave it at that. So if we can carry on quickly to the next slide. So fortunately for us, that's not the end of that scripture. Romans 3, verse 21 to 26. This is a New Living Translation. The only reason why I took that translation is because it reads a little bit easier, and I struggle with English, so there's some big words in there that I just skipped. And my wife said, "You can't leave those words out." And I go, "Okay, then I'll have to find a translation that actually works." And he said, "But now God has shown us a way to be made right with Him without keeping the requirements of the law, as was promised in the writings of Moses and the prophets long ago. We are made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. And this is true for everyone who believes, no matter who we are. For everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. Yet God, with undeserved kindness, declares that we are righteous. He did this through Christ Jesus when He freed us from the penalty for our sins. For God presented Jesus as a sacrifice for sin." If people are made right with God when they believe that Jesus sacrificed His life, shedding His blood, the sacrifice shows that God was being fair when He held back and did not punish those who sinned in times past. For He was looking ahead and including them in what would do in this present time. God did this to demonstrate His righteousness, for He Himself is fair and just, and He declares sinners to be right in His sight when they believe in Jesus. That's pretty amazing. Awesome, actually. Because, like I've said, we've all sinned. There's none of us here that can say that we are free, and unless we accept Jesus Christ in our hearts. Lots of people would say that you should do some self-discovery to find out who you truly are. Now, the definition for self-discovery is the process of acquiring insight into one's own character. Now, the focus is on the word own. Things that make me who I am defines me. This is maybe not such a great idea either, because if I start looking at my character, there are many, many flaws. Now, the people in my cell group have been walking a little road with me, and and they know my flaws. I mean, I have so many. And yeah, I'm very slow at most things. Slow at making decisions, and very slow at finishing off things. And sometimes I don't even finish them. And but God said this year is a time that I will be finishing stuff, and I have been finishing stuff, and I'm really grateful for that. And I'm easily distracted. I have squirrel syndrome. If you don't know what squirrel syndrome, it works like this. I can explain it in only one way. Oh, look at the squirrel. It's like so pretty. That's amazing. No. That's just showing you. Let's not get carried away with that squirrel. I'm easily angered. God's been working on me. And so my list can go on and on and on. And I hope you guys were thinking of yourselves as well. You know, trying to figure out your flaws and stuff. And then there are stuff that happens to us that influence our lives. My parents died when I was very young. So for many years, I was like, but I didn't have parents, so I can do this, you know, I can do that. And then the worst of all, I was raised by English people. They have different standards. They do things completely different. I mean, it's a culture on their own, and I struggled. These people were really God-fearing, good English people. And I was this Afrikaans boy that didn't have much to bring in that sense. But they kept me on the straight and narrow, very difficult, but yeah. And some of us might say we're not in the right culture. I mean, us have that excuse. Some might say, but I don't have money. I can't do this. I can't do that. God's not real, and, you know, all kinds of rubbish. Some of us say, but I don't have the right education. Dude, if God starts working in your heart, it doesn't matter what kind of education you have. And some of us say, oh, but my parents are divorced, and this and that, and we have all these excuses to do what we want to do, to define us so that we cannot do the will of God. I'm too busy. I've got too much work. This, that, the next thing. But yeah, let's not linger on that. What does the Bible say about the self? 2 Timothy 3:2. Get to that slide. There we are. Someone's on the ball. For people will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to the parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness but denying its power. Avoid such people. Do you see that bottom part? It says avoid such people. And later on in verse 8, he says why you need to avoid these people. But you know what? Why I've got that in there? Because that's about the self. That's about when you start glorifying yourself, and it's all about me, you know? And we've all been in that circumstances where things are about us. Me, 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 me. And then you get all these things, and we can recognize, I mean, ungratefulness, unholiness, disobedience to our parents, all these things that are, you know, distracting us from truth. And I really, really don't want to be that person. And I don't think any of us truly want to be that person. I mean, we don't want to be that self-absorbed, arrogant person. We actually want people to say, you know what, that's a child of God. And you know, children of God has gotten a bad name in the world because it was still about us, not about God. I mean, Deval last week, he said, our pinnacle needs to be the Word of God. Our everything. Thank you for the amen, my wife. Because I don't, are there any Christians in this building tonight? You should read your Bible, seriously, and say amen to that. Amen. Right? Thank you. Right. When Jesus died on the cross, he made a covenant with us whereby we could get forgiveness for all our sins. You and I can now become a new person. And the scripture for that is, this means a new identity in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. And I can see it so many times. When God comes into our lives, we become new, completely new. He renews us. He makes us someone different. And then we kind of, you know, move away from that. And we start following ourselves again. And we slide a bit. And we lose that momentum. Slide 8, the Bible says that we are now heirs with Christ, and that his father, that with Christ, and that his father is now our father. Romans 8 verse 12 to 16. Guys, I'm gonna quote a lot of scripture, because you know what? That is truth. If I start speaking about what I think, and we're probably gonna, I don't know what. We're going to build something or something. We're going to go somewhere and eat chips or something. I don't know. But we're definitely not now. But the Word of God will remain. So then, brothers, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. So there's a cost involved. Now, if whenever you want to do something, you want to go on holiday, you calculate the cost. When Rian had his car broke down and it's costing him money, he's got to make a plan, you know, it's cost, you know. So things like that cost you. So you calculate the cost. Now, the Bible says you need to do the same. And in Luke 14, verse 26, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Now, I went and looked because I was like, God, do I seriously need to hate my wife? I mean, I do like her, and I actually love her. Do I need to hate her? Do I need to hate my brothers and sisters? And luckily, that Greek word, when it's actually translated hate, but when it's taken further, it says to love less. So we actually need to love everything else less than God. And this is not, I mean, he speaks about really dear things to us. You need to love those things less. Everything that is very important to you, you need to love less than God. Your job, your security, your people, you need to love less than your God. If you can't do that, you need to seriously make a plan. He says, let's carry on. Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. What is that cross he's speaking about? He's speaking about our stuff. The stuff that's holding us back. You know what that stuff is. You know what stuff there is around you that keeps you back from getting your full potential and really going for it for God. Because you really want to go for it. I mean, you really want to serve God. That's why you're here tonight. I mean, I don't see anybody here who's like, yeah, because they have to be here. Is there anyone here who has to be here tonight? Yeah, well, Stephen, that's a given. I mean, I asked you to be here, right? No, he's here because he needs God. Amen. For which of you desiring to build a tower does not first, and then it carries on calculating the cost. And I just want to skip through to verse 33. So therefore, any one of you who does not renounce all that he cannot, all that he has cannot be my disciple. So if you don't renounce all these things, if you don't say, you know what, God, it's all yours. My wife, my friend, my business, my money, it's yours, Lord. You can't do that, you're wasting your time. You're absolutely wasting. Right, I want to go on. Galatians 2, verse 20. It says, I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So I've been crucified with Christ. When I said, you know what, God, I want to follow you, I've been crucified. I decided that I want to be crucified with Christ. And by faith, I now live in my flesh. I live for him. If I work, sleep, eat, do, when I talk nonsense, Even then, it will be to the glory of God. Even then. Even when I go into my nothing box, boys. Even then, it will be for the glory of God. Now, we talk a lot about being crucified with Christ. How do we do this? Now in Acts 3, verse 38, and Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you, for your children, and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. Now this is a massive promise. This is covenant time, guys. This is covenant time. So if I repent, if I repent of my sins and I'm baptized, and I don't know if there are people here tonight that are not baptized, but if you are baptized, if you repented and you were baptized, if you were baptized and you haven't repented yet, seriously, you need to go back. You need to go repent. Because if you haven't repented yet, it's an empty covenant. You seriously need to go repent. And then be baptized. And then he says that we will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Why do we have to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit? Because God is Spirit. Thank you, my wife. If we don't connect in the Spirit, we're not connecting. And the Holy Spirit was sent as God to be with us here and now. The Holy Spirit is not this airy, fairy, floating ghost hanging around, making smoke and mirrors and stuff. No, he's God here. He's omnipotent. You know what omnipotent? It means everywhere, everywhere. Everywhere I go, he is. There is no place I can hide from the Spirit of God. Nowhere. Nowhere. And wherever I go, he's with me. And when I receive that Holy Spirit, that means he comes and he stays inside of me. You know when you mess up and you hear this little voice? It's not your conscience, man. It's the Holy Spirit telling you, wake up, dude, what are you doing? And sometimes we have become so accustomed to just stay over there, Holy Spirit. Just don't talk to me right now. No, 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 no. This business transaction is very important. I'm going to give a massive tithing, you know, so just stand over there. So many times we just quiet the Holy Spirit when he speaks to us. It's dangerous, guys. You can't do that. You got to listen to that voice, because it's only that voice that will save you, because he is with us to guide us, to lead us, to be with us. And then I no longer live. I have died with Christ. Colossians 2 verse 6. Therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. What that is saying, guys, be careful what you listen to. Be careful where you get your sustenance. Be careful what you listen, what you see, what you do. Guys, the devil is a clever okay. Not going to give him a glory for that. But he has been around and he knows our nature. And if he can get you to a good beat, and you go, wow, that's a great song, man. It's got such a cool beat. But the words are like against the knowledge of Christ. How can you listen to that? JP testified the other day. He said he was watching this series and it was really good. It was gripping stuff. It was like really good stuff. There was no swearing in it. There was no funny stuff in it. But at one stage, they said something that did not glorify the name of Christ. And it was so against the knowledge of Christ. And I'm so happy for him that he actually listened to the Holy Spirit and he stopped watching that completely. Because you know, if there's even this much, like a small amount, a little bit, the Bible speaks of a small amount of, what is that called? Leaven. Tomato. Yes, in there. It's going to go through your whole life. And guys, we're not fighting against flesh and blood. These are evil spirits and powers of darkness. So be careful, little ears, what you hear. For in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily. And you have been filled in him who is the head of all rule and authority. And in him also you were circumcised, with a circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God, who raised him from the dead, you who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in him. Guys, this is amazing. JP, how much time have I got left? Thank you, JP. Okay, we're going to go another hour. Thank you, guys. Right. No. Guys, this is crazy. I mean, if we really look at the scripture, he's forgiven all our trespasses by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with legal demands. Legally, the devil has a legal right. We had a legal right to our lives. Now, if he can get you to dig up that contract again, where you said, I am not serving Christ. If he can get you to go back to that and cancel this basically legal tender that Jesus Christ gave us, he's got you back in his grip. We need to remind him constantly when he comes with rubbish, when he comes with lies and deceit and insecurities, those things that break you down, those things that mess you up. When he comes with those lies, you need to stand against him. The word says we need to stand against him and he will flee from us. What does it look like when someone flees from you? It doesn't look pretty. They run off very fast and they don't look back. Guys, we need to stand against this devil. Now, I'm almost done. I am a child of a living God. That's me. Who are you? John 1, verse 12 says, but to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. I am a child of God. I am truly a child of God. And you know what? I need to live according to that. That is why we receive the Holy Spirit, so that He can guide us, lead us into all righteousness. The Bible says we have to become holy, holy, because He is holy. What does it mean to be holy? Think for a moment. What is holy? Consecrated, set apart. You're different. You don't look like other people. You don't talk like other people. We need to be holy, for He is holy. And it's difficult. Yes, I know. And is there any holy people on earth? No, there's not. Have I reached that place? No, I haven't. Am I going to reach that place? Yes. Why do I say that? Why do I say I am going to be holy? Because He said, be holy, for I am holy. Now, if He won't give me a command that I cannot fulfill. Amen? And that's why I will live my life. And the day I become holy is the day I will be with my Maker. And I can glorify His name. And I can stand with Him. Because I've died with Him. And I will be glorified with Him. And I will sit with Him in heavenly places. That's what the Word of God says. Yes? Amen. And I want to ask this question before I finish. Have you received the Holy Spirit? Now, even if you speak in tongues, it does not mean necessarily mean that you have received the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit you receive because you were obedient, because you repented and you were baptized. You stuck to the covenant. Now, if you haven't repented yet, you need to repent. And if you have repented and you have doubts whether the Holy Spirit is alive in you, you need to invite Him in. You need to open your heart, because He needs to come in and fill you. And if you are filled, you can be a witness. But if you say tonight, I'm not going to be a witness, don't waste your time. Don't waste your time. Go make money. Go do something with your life. But don't linger. He says, only if you were hot or cold, but now that you're lukewarm, I will spit you out. I'm not trying to scare you or anything. I hope I am, but I'm not trying. The fact of the matter is, you need God in your life. You need the Holy Spirit to guide you. But if you're not going to be willing to do His will, don't do it. Run. Run like the devil. But if you're willing to serve God with everything that is in your being, and you're going to put the Word of God as your ultimate pinnacle, and you're going to love your brothers and sisters like we heard this morning, we have to love one another. And not just superficially, we need to truly love one another. Then God will reward us. Amen.